Sportscast presents Hoops Talk, hosted by Alabama basketball legend Irwin Dudley and Sportscast contributor Ryan Krista. All basketball, from college basketball to the NBA. Listen to Sportscast Hoops Talk on digital radio, on the app, on your smart speaker, on Twitter, YouTube, Twitch.tv, and Facebook. Sportscast Hoops Talk. Rhythm, debate, layup, and dunk. Sports Talk Hoops Talk.
Welcome to Hoops Talk. I am Ryan Krista, and we are presented by the Sportscast. Today is March 20th, 2022. Subscribe to us on all our social media channels, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. And if you haven't on Apple, please leave a ratings review. That will help us a lot. Today, I will be joined by my usual co-host, Irwin Dudley, former Alabama superstar. And guys, it's March Madness, and we're alive and well here. We're kind of ending the fourth day here. So of March Madness, we have a lot to catch up on and get ready for the Sweet 16 coming up next week. Irwin, how are you today? Welcome to the Hoops
Talk. I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here. Like you said, a lot of basketball to catch up on. You know, it's been a long week, a lot of basketball. And, you know, at this time of year, that's what you expect. And, you know, you had a lot of upsets that they went on over this past 3 or 4 days. And so we're going to talk about that. And, you know, a lot of people brackets got busted, and I'm one of those people. But the only thing I got good going for myself is that I pick Arizona to win the entire thing, and so Arizona still is in it. So we'll see how that plays out.
Absolutely, yeah. As usual, you know, we had some unpredictability, but that just comes in the territory of March Madness. Yeah. First off, you know, as a former Alabama player, you know, before we get into the whole general, you know, what's your thoughts on Alabama's one and done in the tournament this year?
I mean, the way we play coming down the stretch, I mean, you kind of suspected it. You just hope that it wouldn't happen. I mean, coming down the stretch, getting ready for the NCAA tournament, you want to be kind of playing your best basketball. And, you know, we came down, had a three game losing streak going into the tournament. And so we just kind of kept doing the same thing that we did over the last 3 or 4 games, you know, with turnovers. Not being able to knock down shots, not being able to get any rebounds. And you know, Notre Dame, they came in, you know, even though they had played a double overtime game the other day, they came in and they fought hard and they got the job done. I mean, they look more fresh-legged than we did. And then when Quinterly went down with the injury, you know, that was another blow to us because, you know, he was part of our offense and, you know, he was, you know, part of the engine that kept us going. And so when you take somebody like that out of the game, and it's a critical game, and you know, in the, you know, first game of the, you know, of the NCAA tournament, you know, it's tough to replace them, especially when you don't have guys, you know, you have guys that playing minutes but not playing a different role than they would have been playing if, you know, Quinterly was, you know, was there. And so with that being said, We just couldn't overcome all, you know, the turnovers and the injuries and all that. But, you know, we still have some talent there now, and, you know, some guys will leave, some guys will stay, and, you know, you just have to kind of see, you know, how that plays out, you know, after everything is all said and done.
Absolutely. You know, it's an up and down year for Alabama, a tough way, you know, with the injury to Quivley, you know. You know, with a one and done tournament, you know, with things like that, you know, can derail your whole your game quickly, and, you know, and it's hard, you know, to get you that mojo back because you got players playing, you know, different roles and when things like that happen. But yeah, you know, Notre Dame came in and they played a good game. They shot the ball well, and you know, it was gonna be a tough game for Alabama when I think because Notre Dame, you know, on Friday played a very sound game, you know, and they played a really good game here for about 39 minutes before they just gave it up to Texas Tech.
But, yeah. I mean, but so. you, the stakes are a lot higher in the NCAA tournament, and you know everybody knows that. You know, you win, you keep going, you lose, and you're done. And so it's different. It's a different type feeling than the regular season, because if you do lose a game, you look at, okay, yeah, we lost today, but we still got another game coming up on the next Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever it may be. And so, you know, you look forward to those games. But then now, when you start when you get into the NCAA tournament, it's one and done. And so that's one of the things that what makes the NCAA tournament so special. You have to hope that you're playing your best basketball and hope you're doing your best, you know, on any day that you touch the court. Because I mean, it doesn't matter, if you're a one seed or a 16 seed or a 5 seed or a 3 seed or whatever it may be. You know, any seed can, you know, a lower, anybody can be anybody during this tournament. That's the beauty of it.
Absolutely. And so we'll start with the madness. You know, I think the one that, you know, we're maybe talking about come tomorrow is the St. Peter's Peacocks. You know, it's one thing, you know, to have that magical game against Kentucky, you know, on Thursday, which is awesome. You know, they played a great game. And then, you know, I think, you know, their coach said it best, you know, their players, they don't know. They just go and play basketball, you know. They're, you know, from the New York City, New Jersey area. And the name Kentucky doesn't really rattle them. Or, they're just jealous that they're not playing for Kentucky, you know. And
so when I remember we talked about this a few, leading up to the tournament. We talked about teams that are seated much lower than a higher seeded team, and they have a lot more to prove than a bigger seed. You know, like you said, some of those guys, I think Coach said the other day, some of those guys, when they beat Kentucky, some of those guys think they should be playing at Kentucky or can play at Kentucky. And so with that being said, when you're a smaller school and you're playing against a bigger school, you know, you have something to prove. Because you want to be seen. You hear people talking, you know, week in and week out about Kentucky or Duke and all that. So of course, when you're a blue blood team, you're gonna get everything that team have, because they want to prove that they can compete with that school, with those big blue bloods. And so with that being said, and that's what happened with St. Peter's. So they came in, they beat Kentucky, and then they turned around and beat Murray State. I mean, I don't think only people think. Well, only people that thought that they could win those games were probably some of was St. Peter's fans. I mean, probably even some of them didn't think it. You know, I think that when you come down to games like that, the only people really believe in you is those people that's on that bench with you that's lacing them up every day. And some of them might doubt it. But then, you know, you do have some players, they have in their mindset like, we can beat these guys. We're going to beat these guys. And the coach, some of the coaching staff too, they'll have their doubts, but at the end of the day, they're going to plan and do the best that they can to prepare the kids and give them the game plan, and they have to go out and execute it, and that's what they did.
Absolutely, you know, and they, yeah, it's interesting when, you know, these 15 seeds or whatever, these low seeds, you know, a lot of times, you know, everything goes right, you know, on Thursday or Friday, and then it seems you get to Saturday or Sunday, and it just kind of just, you know, 12 o'clock hits for Cinderella, you know, but once in a while, and we saw this last year with Oral Roberts, mm-hmm. you know, they went on and they beat Florida in round two. And then you catch, you know, a team that's, you know, highly talented in Murray State, but obviously not the athletes that Kentucky has. Mm-hmm. But, you know, an experienced team, you know, I don't know if Murray State just, you know, let down their guard a little bit, you know, with the competition or, you know, yeah, you know, it's a little bit of both. I think, you know, St. Peter's played a great game. And also, I don't, you know, Murray State, I think, didn't have their A game, you know, knowing who they were playing yesterday.
And that's the thing about it, though. You know, you can never predict what type of game you're going to have. Only thing, like, as I spoke about this, the only thing you really can control, you know, especially in the NCAA tournament, is how well you play defense. And so your defense is going to, like I said, defense win championships. Yeah. Offense is they're gonna win some games, but defense, majority of the time, they're gonna win championships. If you go back and look at, and I watched Houston, Memphis. I mean, I had watched Houston play today. I watched Memphis play today. I watched them play against, I mean, yesterday, Memphis and Gonzaga. I watched them play yesterday. I mean, you know, they went up and down the court and they gave Gonzaga a run for their money. But at the end of the day, they had some guards that came down and, you know, Memphis couldn't guard them. They made some shots and that's what it was. And they go back and look at how I watched Houston and Illinois today. Man, and Houston is exactly what they're cracked up to be. I mean, I watched Houston play Alabama here, here in Tuscaloosa at Coleman a few months back, and I saw how physical and how aggressive they played, and I was like, man, they're going to be something to, force to be reckoned with. And then they go and win their conference tournament, and then after that now, I just watched them play Illinois, and they put on a defensive clinic. Like, they really, really played hard. They really played. They play together, and they've lost their primary guard scorer Sasser. They lost him to injury, and they still are clicking just like normal. And that's how all of Coach Sampson and all his teams play. They play. They have an identity where they're gonna rebound. They're gonna be aggressive. They play defense, and you know they're not gonna beat themselves. And so it's just it's just one of his teams. And so. And so Houston is one of those teams, man, that they could really, really continue to make some noise in the tournament because of what they bring to the court.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to jump ahead of myself. I know Arizona's tipping off here in just a few minutes, you know. But, you know, if they do get through to TCU, we'll stay in Houston, you know, mind frame here. I really think that'd be a really great Sweet 16 matchup, Arizona-Houston, because you have a team that's very offensive minded in Arizona. You know, they just athletes on athletes on that team, you know, and to me, you know, they're 1A and 1B and best offenses in the country with Gonzaga, you know, when they're clicking, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. They're very, you know, I think they're the best team to watch aesthetically, you know, cause they just, you know, they run the court and they shoot the ball, they attack, you know, they hit you on all the levels. You know, which makes you an elite offensive team, you know, but you nailed on the head Houston, man. You know, they suffocated a really good, I thought, you know, a UAB team. Yeah. And, you know, took I think one of the best, you know, scorers no one talks about, Jimmy Walker, and really just shut him down. And mm-hmm. then they just, you know, Illinois was grasping at straws. They took their best player out of, you know, had a bad first half, you know, and coach got frustrated and didn't put them in, you know, the best guard they have, you know. Mm-hmm. They just, you know, that's what a Calvin Sampson team does. It just gets you out of your element, you know, and makes you, you know, have to change things up, you know. So, yeah, that, you know, that could be a very potential, you know, huge potential matchup, you know, next weekend. So we have marquee Power Five teams that kind of snuck in. And when you sneak in, you get the 11 seed. So we have two 11 uh-huh. seeds with Michigan and now newly Sweet 16 Iowa State. I guess this is almost, you know, it doesn't matter what you do from November to February. You just got to get it. So you got two teams that, you know, it's two things happen, you know, like you said, you know, get in and you – one thing you can't control is your matchups, you know, and March is all about matchups, you know, and I think, you know, Michigan got against the, you know, I think an overrated Colorado State team.
Like you said, you can't, you don't know the matchup that you're going to get. And your main thing is that you want to get into the tournament. And, if you look at how, you know, Joe Lenardi and a lot of people, how they had the brackets and stuff seated, you know, they didn't have Michigan in. Some of them had Michigan in, some of them did have Michigan in. But Michigan, they got in. And so if you look at, like, how they've been playing good. Like, if you look at them now and the way they've been playing, you won't even think that they barely got in because they're playing really good basketball. I mean, in Tennessee and the Michigan game on yesterday went down. It was a classic game. Tennessee came out. They played well. They won it. Of course, you know, they won the SEC tournament, and they have been playing really well, some really good basketball. And so the kid Dickerson came out from Michigan. I mean, he started them off. He made some shots, and you know, Kentucky started off kind of sluggish, and then you know, they kind of got themselves together and came out and they started playing well. The kid Chandler, he's like I said, I see why they got him a first round pick in the draft this year. The kid is really good. He started off kind of slow in the beginning, but he picked it up at the end. And he scored some really, really crucial baskets for Tennessee. Got downhill, made some shots, and so the kid Josiah James, he kept them in the game in the beginning. He hit a few mid range shots that you like, man, this kid is good. But at the end of the day, Michigan, they just had a little bit more in their tank, and they was able to come up with a huge victory over Tennessee.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so that, you know, they move on to the Sweet 16, you know. In Tennessee, like you said, you know, a team that had a great regular season, probably should have been a 2 seed. I think the seeds were already set before the conference tournaments in a way, you know, so they're kind of locked in, you know, to 3, you know, really, no matter what. So, and then we have an Iowa State, you know, who kind of got the matchup, a friendly matchup with LSU, even though they're 11th seed. You got a highly talented LSU team, which is in disarray because they're, you know, they fired a coach, you know.
I figured they was going to lose anyway. I figured they were going to lose. I mean, they played hard, but I figured they was going to lose. They're definitely
a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde team in LSU, you know. And that's another team, Iowa State, you know, who's found an identity, you know, in playing defense. Yeah. You know, basically just, again, suffocated Wisconsin, which is really playing a road game because you're playing in Milwaukee against Wisconsin. That's a great win for Iowa State, you know. And, you know, they go on to face, you know, right now, I mean, we got Auburn and Miami in a dogfight here. You know, they'll have the winner of that game. You know, so they play Miami, you know, you're looking at an 11-10 matchup there, which would be unique. But there's still plenty of time left in that game. But, yeah. Props to Iowa State, you know, another team, you know, who that, you know, if you ever look at, like, the bubble watch, they were always kind of a lock. Yeah. But I was like, every time I looked, you know, they barely beat somebody, you know, they lost. It's just like, I didn't watch a whole lot of their games, but they're definitely not flashy, you know, but again, you know, it's all you got to do is get in and get the right matchup.
Get into the tournament, get the right matchup. That's all that matters.
You know, and, you know, so props, you know, to make an unlikely – this is a team that I don't think they won a conference game last year, too. You know, they fired Steve Prohm and brought in, you know, mid-major coach TJ, you know, wicked long last name against him, you know, or whatever, so I don't want to screw it up on him, you know. But you know, kind of changing the identity of that team. I think, you know, just getting in was probably a success, and now this is overachieving, you know, in that regards. So, you know, what did you think of the matchup yesterday, which I think was an all-time classic, Baylor and UNC? A lot of storylines in that game.
I watched their game, and, man, I tell you, Carolina, they were in control the whole entire game. I mean, they played really well. And then, you know, but the Baylor, they had the never die attitude. They kept fighting, they kept clawing, and they ended up getting back into the game and going in overtime. And at the end, Carolina ended up, you know, winning. Again, Carolina, they made some changes and stuff in their lineup during the year. They kind of got them on track, and they had been playing really well. And they got this. He decided to go with a few guys, and he was like, "Hey, we're gonna play this way." And Carolina kind of turned it on and started playing well. You know, they're two guards, the kid Davis, and I forget the other kid name for UNC. I mean, they played lights out. You know, night and both of them. So, they play really well, and so, you know, when you have guys that playing like that, and, you know, one guy's playing one night, the other guy's playing another night, you really can't key in on a certain guy because you never know who has the hot hand, and so you can't really focus on it. You have to really prepare for the whole entire team, and so Baylor, you know, one of the reasons why I didn't really expect them to go as far, especially when they lost their big guy. He went down with the season-ending knee injury. And that was one of the things that, you know, I kind of factored in when I was filling out my bracket was, you know, him being out. I didn't feel like that they had enough on the inside physically to really compete with a lot of other teams once they start to kind of get down into the second round or the third round of the NCAA tournament. So, but it was a really good game, though. I mean, it really was. I mean, I watched it. I mean, I was shocked to see how I thought it would have been a lot. I thought it would have been tight. I thought it would have been kind of how Duke and Michigan State was today. If you watch that game, Duke and Michigan State, that game was like up and down, but it was tight and it was good. It's one of those classic, you know, those heavyweight boxing matches where, you know, one person throws a punch, the other one comes back with another one, and that's what happened. But at the end, Duke prevailed. I think Duke had a little bit more talent overall in their roster. And that's how they overcame everything because coming down the stretch, Michigan State made a big run. They got them back into the game and they took the lead. And so Duke relied on their talent, Coach K, and you know they was able to come out with the win. Well, but they made some really, really big plays. They did.
Absolutely. That was a classic game. You know, I'll touch on UNC and then I'll touch on Duke. You know, again, UNC kind of used the momentum. You know, they for round one absolutely obliterated Marquette. Used that momentum, I think, to really jumpstart it against Baylor. You know, then they had a key ejection of Brady Mannix. You know, let her go off, probably the right call. Spirit of the play, I think I would, you know, and the magnitude of the play. I think, 25-point game, you know, like, okay, they'll hold on, 10 minutes left, no big deal. It's not, you know, fighting, so he'll play the next game. But that is a huge deal. You know, he's a, you know, the kind of the go-to scorer for UNC, you know, and kind of showed how important he is. But, I think that was true guts, you know, for UNC to, you know, take that punch from Baylor, get to overtime, and then kind of withstand all that momentum and get that victory. You know, kudos to that. You know, like you said, Duke, Michigan State, you know, I think when you put, you know, blue bloods together, you know, coaches, you know, like Izzo and Kay, you know, they kind of put on the show, you know, both teams, you know, got teams roasted occasion, you know, and that's what you want in March. You know, you want teams that when two teams play hard, it kind of throws out a lot of, you know, the skill team will probably win in the end, but both teams, you know, are going to compete to the end, you know, and like you said, I think, you know, the star power of Duke was just a little too much. Yeah. Another SEC team, you know, I got to watch, you know, I got to go to Buffalo this weekend, Arkansas. those son of a guns, you know, they're not flashy, you know, they got the go-to guy in, you know, Noche, you know, he's really, you know, clutch time, you know, they got Davis, you know, sixth guy practically starts it. Both games, you know, comes in a minute and a half into the game. Uh-huh. But, you know, they're going to tooth and nail you on defense, you know, make it hard on you. And they're crazy athletic, you know, on the boards, you know. But, you know, I saw that they kind of got the luck of the draw in a sense of, you know, they put, not a luck of the draw because they played a really good Vermont team, well coached. Yeah. Really, a really good game, you know, took a good punch from Vermont. Kind of exposed, you know, if you spread them out, you know, they'll open up. But I think in the end, Musselman was able to make, adjustments to kind of force Vermont to go to their second or third options, you know, and that when you get to, you know, these mid-major teams, they don't have that depth of scoring or depth of talent, you know, and taking away, you know, that their best player kind of stalled them for a little bit, enough for them to kind of take that lead, you know, and kind of hold on there. And then kind of, I think a game that Musselman probably loves is just an all-out war with New Mexico State. And I think my favorite player of the tournament I got to watch, you know, is Teddy Allen of New Mexico State. I don't know if you got to see him. You know, he balled out against UConn, 37 points, you know, kind of a flamboyant guy, you know.
Very flamboyant. I mean, they had to try to tell him to calm it down, and then you saw what happened last night or yesterday, right?
Yeah.
You struggled.
Yeah, he struggled, you know, and I think, yeah, like I said, that's what Arkansas can do to you, because they can put those athletes, make, you know, make those tougher, you know, make those tougher shots. So I think that leads to a really fun matchup, you know, next weekend in San Francisco against Gonzaga, you know, that, you know, like you said, you know, an offensive-minded team like Gonzaga, with their bigs, the Timmy and Holmgren, going against, you know, bunch of junkyard dog hogs, you know, in Arkansas, you know, which style is going to prevail in that game. You know, it's going to be a fun matchup. You know, Gonzaga got everything they wanted to and more out of Memphis. You know, we kind of talked about this, you know, earlier when we talked about Houston. Memphis, you know, if they had a better middle of the season, they were probably at least a 2 or 3 seed, you know. The talent on that team, the athleticism on that team was, I mean, Gonzaga, you know, they saw a little bit of that when they played Alabama. But it definitely threw them off, you know, in that first half, you know, because Memphis has little if no half-court offense other than just, you know, get that ball up the court and throw it at the rim and let, you know, their big, you know, Durant and Williams go and rebound that ball. But, wow, you know, the talent.
So, if you look at, I mean, just going back to the, you know, watching, you know the Arkansas, I mean, Arkansas, they play really hard. That's one thing they do. They Note, he's been really, really streaky. He's been really streaky, you know, the last few games I watched, even in the SEC tournament and in the NCAA tournament. You know, he's turned the ball over. I think he had, like, last night, I think he fouled out. He had like 4 offensive, you know, charges. And so in order for them to kind of go even further than what they, you know, than what they want, than where they are now. He's going to have to step up, and he's going to have to be their leader. I mean, just coming back, he's one of the experienced guards coming back to the team from last year. And he's going to have to be the leader. He's going to have to learn, take care of the ball. He's, you know, he forces a lot of shots. He forces things that he don't need to force. Instead of just letting the game come to him. And I understand that, you know, they need his scoring, but sometimes he needs to understand for himself that, you know, it's a time where I can put my foot down, you know, I can put my foot on the pedal and I can push the ball versus me not, you know, wants me not doing it. And so that's one of the things that he has to realize. Now the whole defensive, I think it'll be a tough battle. It's going to be a good game, but I think at the end, I think that, Gonzaga is a little bit. Gonzaga is, you know, more talented than they are, and also I think that Gonzaga, their length is going to give them a little problem as well. I mean, they're, you know, they have, you know, with Timmy and, you know, Chet Holmgren, they're long. But then if they get them in foul trouble, I think that'll be their best bet. If they get one of those guys in the foul trouble, that'll be the best thing, I think, for you know, for Arkansas. Memphis gave Gonzaga a good run yesterday, but Memphis is a big team on the interior. They're a huge team with Durant and those guys, so I can understand that. But again, I think it'll be a good game.
Yeah, I mean, if I was an NBA scout, you know, I watched, you know, I'm not gonna lie, you know, Gonzaga's my team. You know, yeah. So I watched, you know, pretty much every minute of the season. I haven't seen Holmgren rattled and shocked like he was last night. You know, he did not win a battle. You know, if I'm an NBA scout, I'm like, there's some red flags there, you know, because Durant, that man's a bad man. He is big. He is strong. He doesn't have the skill as Holmgren. I'm not talking, you know, skill. Nah, Holmgren's off the charts. Nah. He's
not even close now.
You know, but, you know, when NBA body ready, you know, that guy's there, you know. And then, you know, what Memphis could have been if Imani Bates stayed healthy. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy hasn't played in a month and a half, you know, and played, you know, basically 10 minutes is all they told him he could play, you know, and the guy comes, no fear, no nothing. And he, you know, he missed, he was maybe about 50%, but everything, you know, right on line. And they're terrible shots because, you know, they have people in his face, you know. Well, wow, you know. I just think, you know, you're watching that game, like, this team could have been a Final Four team if they had just not, you know, wasted the whole month of December and January. You know, they they did what they got to do to get in the tournament, you know. But wow, Penny can recruit, that's for sure.
Oh yeah, he definitely can do that. I mean, without a doubt, he definitely can recruit.
So a couple other news and notes.
Before we move on, we got a question that we need to.
Yes, I put it out there. Yes, from Otis Hunter the III. Yeah. So there's no more perfect brackets. Who do you have, right now with I think 18 teams left, 19 teams left, we have three more games,
Yeah.
Who do you have going?
I mean, like I said, my bracket, like he just said, there's no more perfect bracket. So, I picked Arizona to win the whole entire thing. That's the only thing that I got going for me right now. I've watched them over the last month or so, and closely. And man, they are really good. They can score the basketball. They are long. They can defend. They can do a lot of things. And so they can do whatever. They can go up and down. They can push the ball up and down the court. They can run a set offense, and I think it'll be interesting to see if any team can match up with them or beat them. It'll be very interesting. But I think at the end of the day, I think Arizona. That's who I got pick winning the whole entire thing.
Yeah, I can't go wrong with that. I'm gonna go with Gonzaga. So, maybe that's my heart telling me, but I feel like they survived. So they started ridiculously slow against Georgia State. But they showed what they can do. I mean, they took a 2-point game, 16 minutes left and won the game by, they're up by as many as 28 points. So, that's explosiveness you have. But, it is red flag. It took them a while. Again, they fell behind yesterday. So hopefully, they got that first round, jitters out, and now they move to the regionals here where the competition, stiffens, they have a potential match. Yeah, they will play Arkansas and then either Texas Tech or Duke, in the regional final. So I'm kind of eyeing that Gonzaga Duke, Elite Eight matchup. I think that, that's gonna be a fun matchup there. So yeah, but back to the question, I'm gonna go with Gonzaga.
So hopefully they got that first round.
Let's just kind of go over, the matchups. We'll do the best we can. As I said, at this present moment, we still have games going on. So we'll kind of go over the best we possibly could right now in the matchups we have. Definitely sealed.
Right now, Auburn and Miami is playing, and Miami is giving Auburn everything they want and some. They're up by 14 points on Auburn, so it's like,
I think Auburn, it's kind of what they do, they play on the risky line a lot, but they're a team, with their athleticism and their ability to play defense, we'll see what happens here. They'll make a run, it's whether Miami will hold them off or not. Let's start off, with I don't want to throw down the Horned Frogs or anything like this, but Arizona / TCU versus Houston, but we'll, I'm assuming you're going to take, tell me what you think about that game.
Houston. I watched.
Over Arizona?
I watched TCU.
No, I mean over, let's just say Arizona beats TCU.
Oh, come on. Man, that's I tell you, okay. Now I thought you were saying TCU was
going to go. Arizona and TCU haven't played yet, so we're going to just assume that.
We're assume Arizona win, right?
Yeah, which is a dangerous assumption in March Madness. I know.
I'm gonna tell you, man. Like I said, I've watched Houston a lot. I've watched Arizona a lot, and. That right there is going to be a real, real battle. They meet each other. But again, I think Arizona still is going to win. I mean, just from the fact, I think that with their length, they're going to give